Jesus is the answer to all the uncertainty, right? In our time of changing things and the uncertainty that comes with that and the feelings of fear and worry, the answer is in Jesus, the unchanging, the all-powerful, the one that's not dependent on anything else. And so that's the answer, is Jesus. And wouldn't it be great to be able to just to sit down with Jesus and sit across the table from him, like you do with somebody, you go out to lunch with somebody and you sit at a table and you converse and talk and share what's on your heart and you hear from them. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to do that with Jesus, to be able to sit with him and know him in that way? There's something about meals, right? Something relational happens at meals. That's why it's hard to eat a meal alone. You just kind of doesn't feel right when you eat a meal by yourself, because there's something relational about meals. And so what we're doing is we're going through a short series about these meals with Jesus, these different people that had an opportunity to sit down with Jesus and have a conversation with him. And what the hope for all of us is to be able to picture ourselves at that table, to pull up a chair, to sit in and join in with this special time, one-on-one time with Jesus. Because during these times, we're going to see he reveals his character, he reveals what he's about, he reveals the things that matter to him. And it, as us, as his followers, it's very insightful for us during this time to be able to see all these aspects of God, but in that relational, personal sort of way, as if we're just sharing a meal together. So today, we're going to be looking together at Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this is a time when Jesus shared a meal with two sisters. And something happens during this meal that's very insightful for all of us and should speak to our relationship with God and how we interact with him and what he wants to see out of us. And so again, open up to Luke 10, 38 to 42 is what I'll be reading today. And again, as I read it, picture yourself there at the table, in this house, at the table with Jesus and these sisters, and kind of picture the scene with me at what happened during this time. So Luke 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. God, give us your heart. Give us your understanding. Help us not to run this through our personal human view in this, but instead give us a divine perspective so we can appreciate you, know you in the way you want us to know you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So from this account, we see a very important thing, and this is going to be our central truth that we're going to be talking about today. The main point this morning is this: being with Jesus is more important than doing for Jesus. Being with Jesus is more important than doing for Jesus. So where do we get that? Did you guys picture the scene? Were you there in the house with these people? Can you picture what was happening? Here's Jesus. He gets Martha as a homeowner. She invites Jesus in. They come to have a meal, and he's reclining at the table. And Martha's running around getting everything ready, because you got people over, there's things to do. There's cleaning, there's checking the food and putting a little salt on here and turning the oven down on that and chilling or whatever and having this, getting ready for the meal. And while all this is going on, there's Mary just lounging there next to Jesus, just hanging out with Jesus when all this work needs to be done. And so Martha, like probably any of us would do, Martha says, "What? Come on, Jesus, you like things that are right? This is not right. Mary's just lounging and hanging out and doing nothing. I'm doing all the work. Can you believe this? Don't you care what's going on here? I thought you were compassionate. I'm busting my tail. All this needs to be done. She's sitting around. Tell her to help me." Right? And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." You are worried and concerned about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary's doing it. She's spending time with me while you are doing things for me. There's a difference here. Okay, they're both in the room with Jesus. They're both with him. One's active and busy and doing all these different things. And let's be real, these are things she's doing for Jesus, right? She's preparing his food, she's doing the dishes, she's getting ready, she's cleaning the house, she's preparing the meal, doing all that. These are good things that she's doing. She's doing them for Jesus. And as good as they are, Jesus makes a very clear value statement. He says, Mary has chosen what is better. Better than doing things for me is to just be with me. Mary has chosen what is better. What was Mary doing? Sitting at his feet, listening. And Jesus says, this is the one. Look at her. Doing for Jesus? Great, that's awesome. But know what's even better? Being with Jesus. The reason this is important for us to hear, we get really active doing things for Jesus. We do lots of things for Jesus, and they are good things. But we get so busy doing things for Jesus, we forget to just be with Jesus. Sitting at his feet, listening. Oh, I don't got time for that. I got all these other things to do, and I got A, B, C, D, and you know, I got all this. God's put all this on my plate, and I got to do all these things, and they're important, and I got to have. Yeah. One thing, though, is really needed. Being with Jesus. Why is this so important? Why is being with Jesus, speaking of spending time getting to know Jesus and being known by him, why is this time, this investment of knowing Jesus so important? Because that is what this is all about. That's why what this, right? This is my all of creation motion. This is all about is getting to know God. That's the point of all this, is knowing God. We serve a relational God who has arranged, this is all going on so that we can know him. That's the point of all this. It starts, creation, the word, it all starts with God saying to himself, let us create man in our image. Let us create man in our image. Even when it's just God, the one God, there's still relationship. God is a relational within himself. Isn't that crazy? The one God within himself, within the Trinity, has relationship. He is a relational being, something to be known and to know others, a relationship. That's who God is. And he says, let us create man in our image. So he creates man. And here's man in the garden, and he looks at man and says, oh, that's not good for man to be alone. Because man is relational. Humans, we also are built the same with this need for relationship. God is relational. He created man that as a relational being to be able to experience relationship. And then here in the garden, we have God being relational, man created needing relationship. And we see stories of it talks about how God would stroll through the garden in the breeze and the end of the day, feeling the breeze and all that. Him and man hanging out, they had relationship. Like, this is what God created mankind for, is to know him. And this was all working great until mankind made a real poor decision, and that was to sin. And then when mankind sins, it broke that relationship. So next time God came walking through the garden, looking to hang out and experience this relationship with man, where was man? He's like, Adam, Eve, where'd you guys go? Not that he needed to know. He knew where they were. Where were they? They were hiding in the bushes. Because they said, because we sinned and we heard you coming and we were afraid. That relationship was broken. And this whole book is about all of creation, is about restoring our relationship with God. The whole point is that we could know God. But sin broke that relationship. And ever since the whole apple and the garden thing, whenever anybody stood before God, they couldn't stand before God. God would show up, they would hit the floor. They would fall as though dead. Whenever any sort of angelic being, anything happened, they would hit the floor. Because sinful man cannot stand before a holy God. the relationship is broken because of our sin. God is holy, we are broken, and that don't work. But God doesn't leave us in that position of whenever we are faced with God, we hit the floor. He fixed it by sending Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ so that we could know him. The whole point of all this is that we could know God. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God right now, we can't handle God. How he is, we cannot handle him. So God being so good and gracious, he put himself in a format that we could process. And that's the format of a man. He made himself one of us so that we could have a relationship, so we can get to know him. He created the invisible, the unknowable, and he made himself visible in Jesus Christ and made him knowable. He went from the God that we can't even be around because he's so holy to Emmanuel, God with us. He did all that in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14:7, if you really know me, you know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him, because Jesus is fully God. He is the visible of the invisible. The whole point of Jesus is that so that we can know God. Knowing him is the goal of all this. The point of all this is to know God. The reason our sins are forgiven isn't just so that you get to go to heaven. The reason your sins are forgiven, it allows you to approach God. You get to stand before God without being on your belly, which is an awesome, awesome thing. And you say, well, Tom, what about the eternal life? Yes, eternal life. This is all about eternal life. John 17:3, Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. Whole point of all this is to know and experience God, to know him. That's what this is all about. It's about knowing God. This is the point of all of it. And that's why Jesus says to Mary, she's doing what's right, sitting at my feet and listening. Because she was investing her time in knowing him. Sure, there was tons to be done. But she sat at his feet, spending time knowing him. And Jesus says, that's what this is about. Now, this is here's where the problem is for us in our context. We have traded in knowing God. We've traded that in for knowing about God. You guys, can you picture the difference of that? Knowing God versus knowing about God. A lot of us have settled for knowing about God. What do I mean by that? Let's put it in a different context. Do you know Oprah? Or do you know about Oprah? We don't know Oprah. We never sat down with her. But we know a lot about Oprah. I think for a lot of us, our relationship with God is a lot like our relationship with Oprah. We know some things about him. We know kind of how he reacts to stuff. We know what he likes and what he doesn't like. But as far as personally involved in my life, no. Maybe we're hopeful he'll give us something cool. You know, look under your seat. We know about God, but we don't know God. And again, this is a problem because we can't really love a God that we just know as a deduction from a text. We've seen stories in a book, and it just sits there as facts in the past. We can't love that. I mean, we could love it the same way we love Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King, and it's an appreciation, like, oh, wasn't that cool? But I'm talking about love, like relationship, like involved in my life. And those facts that we hold so dear, I think those facts that are in this book about God, we would love to say those things are enshrined in our heart, that they're valued and cherished, and they're enshrined. And I would say, no, they're probably entombed, that they're dusty and on a shelf, and we can reference them when we need to, but they're not living, they're not active. It's just some old facts about something that happened in the past. And the consequence of that is we live like there's not actually any God really there. We know about God. We know what this book talks about him. But in all reality in our lives, we live like he is not even there. We look at the past. We could see him active in the past. We look in the future, and we're hopeful for his return in the future. But I'm talking about right now. with me day to day, with me on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning this past week. A live, active, living God that I have relationship with. I think a lot of us, we're missing the point of the Christian faith. We're missing the benefit. We're missing what this is all about. And it's about knowing God. Like knowing him. I'm talking about personal relationship. Like just like you know your spouse or you know your kids or you know your neighbor. Like knowing, experiencing, interacting with. Having a personal encounter with God, meeting him, interacting with him, knowing God, not just as knowing about him, this thing that was in the past and hopefully will return in the future, but knowing in a relational, personal sort of way. Every great person in this book had an encounter with God. They didn't just hear about him, they knew him. They got to know him through this experience with him, and it changed their life, and they lived in light of that truth. They walked in the continual presence of God in relationship with him. That's what all this Bible's full of great people, not because they were great, they're actually pretty messed up, but they knew God personally. They had a relationship with him. And God arranged all things so that we too can have that relationship with him, personal interaction, and this encounter, this life-changing encounter that leads to this personal interaction, this relationship. That's why when Mary's sitting at his feet, Jesus says, yes, perfect. This one he understands. And it's an important lesson for all of us about what's really needed in our relationship with God. Is it doing for Jesus or being with Jesus? And again, I'm not discounting doing for. God calls us to do a lot of things. We need to be obedient to that call. But the problem is when that doing for gets in the way of being with. The being with is what's important, is the most important. That Mary chose what was better. There's no debating that. Jesus made it very clear. One was better than the other, and it's being with Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we follow Mary's example in order to know Jesus today, to know him personally, have this relationship, this encounter with him? You might think, Tom, I never really had that. Well, what does that mean about me? Because all the things you described, yeah, that's me. Dusty facts on a shelf, yeah, that's probably how I think about Jesus. And, so what do I do? How do I have that encounter with God? I don't know him that way. What do I do? Well, we're going to follow Mary's example. We're going to do what Mary did. We're going to sit at his feet and listen. So this requires two things. First, it requires a commitment of time. A commitment of time. Mary sat at his feet and just waited expectantly, hopeful of what she might hear from Jesus. She wasn't bouncing around doing other stuff. She wasn't on her phone. She wasn't didn't have the video paused while she listened in for a second. She sat at his feet and listened. And it's not like it was after everything else was done and then she just got, no, there's plenty to do. But she sat at his feet and listened. It involved this focused, quality time, one-on-one time with Jesus. It involved removing all the distractions and just being with him. Because again, Martha was with Jesus. I mean, check it out. Before we get too hard on Martha, like, oh, can you believe that, Martha? She invited him into her home. Mary didn't do that. It was Martha. Martha invited him into her home, and she's doing all this stuff for him, getting ready, which is great. These were all good things that she was doing. But she was with Jesus. This is where I want us to see. She was with Jesus, too. She's in the room. She was in the room with him, but yet she was distracted, it said. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. So she could hear all of it. She could hear the whole conversation, yet she was missing it. So it poses a question for us. How much time do you really spend with Jesus? Like sitting at his feet, listening. And you might be, well, Tom, I know my theology. God is everywhere. Jesus in my heart, so 24 hours a day I'm with Jesus, in your face. Talk to someone else. True, but I'm talking about dedicated time, sitting at his feet, listening. Because we're like Martha. We are on the move. We'd be like, hey, Jesus, I'm doing some dishes. Come on into the kitchen with me as I check the ham and as I get the things ready and pour the drinks. Could you stir that for me, Jesus, and while I toss this salad? And come on, Jesus, come along with me through the day as we do all these things and I'm active and busy. And that's Martha. And that is all good. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't do that. The Bible's very clear about that. We pray about all things, that we need to walk in the presence of God everywhere we go. So I'm not downplaying that. But I am saying, in addition to that, not just in addition, more importantly than that, as Jesus would say, it's that dedicated time sitting at his feet, listening. Because here's the thing. God does not bow to our haste. He does not bow to our short attention span. This concept comes out of a book I read. It was written by A.W. Tozer in 1950. And he was complaining about the short attention span of Americans and how it works against our relationship with God. In 1950, what would Tozer think today if he saw how we are today and our attention spans are today? I mean, we can't handle commercial break. Have you tried watching something not on the DVR? So frustrating, right? Commercials come and you can't skip them. We get into a line, we can't just stand there. We've got to have our phone out. We need engagement all the time on all things. I'm talking about us. I'm not just talking about junior hires. That next generation, woo-wee, Our short attention span, our haste, our just always on to the next thing, that prevents us from knowing God, from sitting and spending time with him. We all crave that encounter with God. We do, right? I believe if you're in this room today, you crave that encounter with God, where God inserts himself into your life in a very real way and interacts with you. He moves into your heart and you know it's him. Those are so valuable, so amazing, so life-changing. In my own life, I can reflect on those times when he's always there, but sometimes he really makes it known that he's there. And there's nothing like it in this whole world. And we all crave it. We want it more than anything else. But yet we never pause life long enough for it. We never seek him out. We never sacrifice our time to him for that. We never put him first. Put him ahead of our jobs, ahead of our favorite TV show, ahead of our sleepiness, ahead of listening to radio or podcasts, whatever. As much as we want it, we don't give him any time for it. We don't give him any of our attention, and we live like he's not even really there. And yet, then we're surprised our relationship with him is so dry, so unimpactful. Sometimes I wonder if God's even, you know, and we complain that God hasn't showed up. He's been there all along, but we're on to the next thing all the time. This is a fact. You want to know God? You must spend time with him. You got to carve it out. You got to cherish it. You got to put it first. And if you just continue on with him in the like the spare tire underneath the trunk and never go in there, that's all he'll ever be for you. But if you want to know him, again, that's what this is all about. If you want to know him and experience the peace and comfort of knowing him, even when the whole deck gets shuffled like what happened this week, and we're all like, what just happened? And everything's turned upside down. If you want to know him for times like this, you got to spend time with him. And it's not just once, it's a lifestyle. Because I said, hey, if you want to be a runner, we'll just go run. I tried running once. It was really hard. Nothing really came of it. We do the same thing with our walk with him. I tried reading the Bible once. Boy, I just got really tired. We got to spend time with him to experience what this is all about, knowing God. So our spiritual impatience causes us to miss the whole point of our faith, and that's knowing God. It takes a commitment of time, and we must firmly believe that any time spent investing in knowing God is time well spent. It's not time wasted. Whether or not you had a moment in there or not, it's still time well spent. So first, it requires a commitment of time. Second, it requires a change of priorities. A change of priorities. And this is very critical Because if I took a poll of this room before this service even started and I asked you, is spending time with God important? 100% would say yes. So that means I just wasted like 15 minutes right there talking about it. Because you guys already know it. It's important. But here's the issue. Our lives are full of important things. So the issue isn't, is it important? The issue is priorities, level of importance. The most significant part of this exchange between Mary and Martha and Jesus is when, Martha's crying out to Jesus, like, don't you understand? I got all this to do. Why won't you help me? And when Jesus says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Know what he's talking about? He's talking about priorities. There's many things that we get worried and busy about, but only one thing is really needed. On the priority chain, there's one thing that goes on top. Like Martha, we get distracted by all the stuff that needs to happen. We get distracted from the one thing by all the other things that aren't important. I'm not saying those things aren't important. We have very real things going on in our lives. You know, we're husbands and fathers and coworkers and neighbors, and we have a lot of responsibilities. I'm not saying you just don't do any of that. But I'm saying as far as the priority chain, one thing is needed. Tom, how can you say that? Don't look at me. Jesus said it. You got a problem with Jesus, you go tell him about it. Yeah, spend time with him to do it first. Because this is a nasty trick about this. All those things that are in our lives, all the things that have to be done, they all feel so important. They really do. They feel so important at the time. They have to be done. You just can't not do them. They're all good things even. I'm not saying they're bad. Yet then they become the reason I don't do the one thing that really has to happen. And we cry out to God, don't you care? Look at all I'm doing. No one's helping me. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm doing all these things. Tell them to help me. Martha, Martha, Martha is what he says. Tom, Tom, Tom. You're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. And again, we have real demands on us. I'm not saying we don't, okay? But I'm saying this. If we get this priority right, it helps everything else out. I have demands as a husband and a father and as a pastor and all the other things. As a golfer. Not that last one. But when I'm getting the priorities right and I'm spending Mary time with God, sitting at his feet, listening, when I'm doing that, I'm a much better father. I'm a much better husband. I'm a much better pastor. I'm a much better fill in the blank. Yes, those things still need to be done, but they'll be done better if we get your priorities right. Spending time, sitting at his feet, listening. So we need to adjust our priorities. Really, what is the non-negotiable in your life? The thing that you cannot, the part of your schedule that you cannot budge, the non-negotiable, the thing that has to be there. That's what I'm talking about. Because if we're honest with ourselves, the one very extremely negotiable, the one that we're very easy to push aside, is spending time at Jesus' feet and listening. That's the one we got no problem putting off. I mean, we'll do it, but only if I wake up early enough. Only if I have enough time before I got to go off to work. Only if the kids get their own breakfast so I don't have to do that. Only if, I get it done before the game starts. Only as of if I'm not too sleepy at the time. If all those things work out, sure, I'll spend time at Jesus' feet. You got a priority problem, if that's you, because it is me, right? It's a wrestle we have. So that's why the issue is priorities. That was Martha. All this stuff that has to be done. She's doing it all instead of sitting at Jesus' feet. I mean, she wanted to spend time with Jesus. She invited him over. The whole point was to spend time with him. And yet she got distracted by all the things they had to get done. So this is an important lesson for all of us, something we all need to own and wrap our minds around and to cherish this truth. So our closing challenge is this. The challenge is to commit spending Mary time with Jesus. Hopefully you know what that means. Mary time, sitting, listening at the feet of Jesus, dedicated time, uninterrupted time, and to commit to doing it, make it a priority. Say, this is going to happen. This is the one non-negotiable in my day. This is going to happen. Not at the end of the day if everything else gets done, then I'll do it. But no, this is going to happen. And to help you do this, I made a tool for you. I'm going to pass you. Let's see. That's about half. Take a couple. Pass them around. Okay, what this is. Let's start off. Pass these around. Take them, pass. What this is, you're like, you may be thinking, and this would be a very real question and a very reasonable question. Okay, get it, Tom. I want to do this. I want to spend time at Jesus' feet. I want to know God in that personal relationship way. How? Here's a way you can do it. And all this isn't homework. If there's an inner part of you recoiling at this, turn that off. It's fine. But if you have a desire to spend time at Jesus' feet and listening, this is just a tool to do that. What I've given you is a four-step process to how to spend time with Jesus, sitting at his feet and listening. Prepare, clear out some dedicated, uncluttered time with Jesus. Turn off all the inputs. You guys know what I'm talking about? Just clear all that out. Close the door, turn off the phone, not just silent, turn it off. The Facebook updates are not coming in anymore. Turn it all off. The radio's off. It's all off. Turn off all other inputs. Pray. Talk to God. Tell him about what's going on in your life. That worry, that thing that's causing that tension in you, just tell him about it. Just realize, just confess to him all the things you're carrying. Just talk to him a little bit like he was right there at the table with you. Read a passage from below. This is just, I provide you 14 different days worth of passages. If you wanted to do one a day, that's just a tool to do that. So you read and try to identify, what does this tell me about Jesus? How can I know him better through this? And then respond, thank God for what he's revealed to you. If you like to journal, it'd be a great time to write. If he ever reveals anything to you, write it down. Because I promise you, you're going to forget that awesome truth as soon as you get out the door and put him in charge for the day. There are 14 days on here. This isn't at all like, I want you guys to do the best you can because I want you to know Jesus. I love you that much. But if you get behind, don't think, well, I'm 3 days back. I got to do 3 days today. Don't do that because that's just not the right point. But if you're doing this and really like it and you want more of these, I'll just keep giving more and more of these. All right. If you need another 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, you come talk to me and I'll give you another 2 weeks. All right. So we'll keep making these. If this helps you, there's nothing magic here. All right. But if this helps you, I will keep making them and giving them to you. All right. Because it's so important as your pastor. What I want for you, more than that awesome job, more than that big house, more than that beautiful car, more than that perfect relationship, more than all that, because I love you so much, I want you to know Jesus in this personal way. Because that's what this is all about. So with that, let's pray. God, thank you so much for being knowable. Thank you for not leaving us in our condition of unable to know you, being unable to know you. God, help us to take advantage of the wonderful position you've put us in. Help us to run to the throne of grace and to sit at your feet and to experience you in that way. God, I pray over these times, I pray over each person here, God, that as they start spending time with you, that you would bless those times, that you would show your presence with them and help it to be time well spent. And so it make it so rich that we're looking forward to the next time again. And so, God, I just pray for your blessing over each one here today that they can know you like this. In Jesus' name, amen.